Thank you so much. It is wonderful to be with you again. We are in the process of getting settled in the house in Griffin, Georgia, which is about 15 miles south of the Atlanta airport. If you've ever moved anywhere, you know how many cardboard boxes sometimes you have to take with you. And so we are going through our things box by box and deciding what to keep and what to give away and get settled. So we're in process. Freddie cannot be with us today. Our daughter is not feeling well, so she's helping her today. But she wanted me to tell you how much she loves you all and how grateful she is for you too. Both of us feel the same way about you. We're so grateful for you. And it is good to be back with you again today. So today, as we worship together, I'd like for us to focus on this passage of Scripture that you just read out of the prophet Micah. I think we find here some very, very important truth for the living of our lives. So before we meditate on that passage of Scripture, let's pray together, asking God's guidance. Thank you, Father, that centuries ago you spoke through the prophet Micah to the people of Judea and Samaria and Galilee. We thank you for the ministry of the prophets and how they challenged the people to repent and to turn back to you. Father, may we hear that message again today. May we repent of our sins. May we turn back to you with deep faith, hearts full of gratitude for the way you love us and the way you have blessed our lives. I pray, Father, for each person here this morning, that as we read your word and meditate upon it, that each of us would understand your calling to us and that we would be eager to become more and more the people of God. Thank you for these moments together. In Jesus' name, amen. A man named Poe Bronson wrote a book with the title, What Should I Do With My Life? And he chose that book title because he feels like that question sums up life's ultimate question. What should you do with your life? I need to ask that question of myself, and you need to ask that question of yourself. In the time we have on earth, whatever that length of time is, how should we live? What should we do with our life in the moments that God gives us? As we look at this book written by him, if you read it, you will see that it's not so much a guide to how to do it. He offers some counsel about that. But the gist of the book is interviews with lots of people as he listened to their story, how they were living their life, and what that meant to them. And he found that some were very happy with their life, and others were not so happy with the way things were going. He tells the story, for example, of a mother torn between an Olympic career and her adolescent daughter. The Cuban immigrant who overcame the strong disapproval of her parents and quit her lucrative career to go into social work. The OBGYN physician who walked away from her lifelong destiny of being a doctor and was trying to make sense of that decision. A high-powered IT saleswoman who gave up the certainty of salary to become a massage therapist because she missed a close connection with people. Bronson, as he writes the book, says this: your calling isn't something you inherently know for sure. It's not some destiny that is written in the sky. He says most people that he interviewed found their calling after great difficulty. He said most people don't get the bright epiphanies, the explanations in the heavens of what you ought to do with your life. He says most of us just get a whisper, a holy nudge in the direction of God's will for us. And then we take steps forward in the direction of what we're feeling in our heart that God is calling us to do. And sometimes you aren't sure until you look back and see how God has led you in a previous chapter of your life, so that now it seems to make more sense to you. The ultimate question. I want us to explore that question this morning. How should you live your life? And I think we find a great deal of help from the prophet Micah. So I encourage you to open your Bibles to Micah chapter 6, or to look at your bulletin at the scripture there. And I'd like for us to explore this question. Micah was addressing the people of God in the southern part of what we now call Israel or the Holy Land. And he was challenging them to consider how they were living their lives. And he was calling them to make better choices than they had. He prophesied to the nation of Judah at a time of great upheaval. Neighboring nations, pagan nations, strong pagan nations were threatening invasion and taking the people captive. Nations like Assyria and Babylon. And Micah wanted to address the people before it was too late, to let them know that they had some changes that were needed in their lives. In the earlier chapters of the book of Micah, he denounced the rich of the land for taking precious land from the poor. Just ripping the land from the poor. People in power were denying justice to the powerless. Many of the officials of the land were guilty of taking bribes. Using graphic language, Micah declared that those in authority, as he writes in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, that those in authority tear the skin off of my people and break their bones in pieces and chop them up like meat in a kettle. Now, he was, of course, not being, saying that's actually being done, but the people were treating other people so badly. So in chapter 6, Micah gets to the scripture that we're looking at today, and it is a courtroom metaphor. It's an illustration taken from the courtroom. And notice how God opens that chapter. Stand up, plead my case before the mountains. Let the hills hear what you have to say. Hear, you mountains, the Lord's accusation. And then God began to show the people, through Micah, what they had become, how they had been living their lives so wrongly in the sight of God. He was denouncing them, not for the fact that a father had left their children, but that the children had left their heavenly father in the pursuit of their own agenda, in living their lives without connecting with God. And God tells them in verses 3 and 4 and 5 how he had blessed them through all the centuries. He was helping them to remember what God had done through that history with them. Verse 4, I brought you up out of Egypt. I redeemed you from the land of slavery. And verse 5, remember your journey from Shittim to Gilgal. I think that's a really important thing to do. If you want to know what to do with your life, you need to remember your journey. You need to remember how your life began and what has happened in your life to the present day. And if you have come to the Lord, if you've trusted Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, that's part of your journey. It's part of your spiritual identity. And you need to remember that and never forget that. The people of God at that time, and Micah prophesied about 700 B.C., so several centuries before Christ. But he was calling the people to a deeper faith, to a keener sensitivity to the needs of people all around them. And he was saying, you've got to change, because if you don't change, God will send a neighboring nation and judge you severely by the way they will treat you as captives in their land. So he was denouncing their ritual religion. Rather than having a very personal relationship with God by faith, the people were simply going through the motions of their religion. Have you ever done that? You know, sometimes it's easy for us to just get into patterns of worship or praying or other things in our faith. Now, maybe church attendance has gotten to be kind of ritual for you, just kind of that's what you always do. And maybe you're missing out on the personal connection with God in all of that. Maybe God is speaking into your life today saying, you know, it's really time for you to examine some deep things in your soul. Let God bring some changes there so that you are really connected with Him in a deep, loving relationship. So, the ultimate question, what should you do with your life, is addressed by Micah, and he concludes with these questions. If you want to do something better with your life, if you want to repent of your sins, what do you need to do in order to make things right between you and God? And he begins to mention some things that some people choose to do. And notice how those things get larger and larger, more and more significant. Some people might, as he says, look in verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Should I come before him with burnt offerings? Some people felt that that is exactly what you do to get closer to God. Or bring calves a year old. Or would the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? Or 10,000 rivers of oil? You see how it's getting larger and larger? And then finally, shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression? That seems so cruel. It seems so inhumane. And of course, the people were not saying that's what they planned to do, but there were neighboring nations, pagan nations, that did practice child sacrifice, feeling like if they killed the firstborn of their family, they would be okay with the God they worshiped. And so the people were saying, what do I need to do? What great thing do I need to do in order to be right with God? And then finally, verse 8, he gives us the answer. Look at what he says. He has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? Three things. One, act justly. Second, love mercy. And thirdly, what? Walk humbly with God. Let's look at those three things together a little bit. So it's Micah.
Six, eight. And the first one is act justly. The second one is love mercy. And walk humbly with God.
Very, very important answer that Micah gives to the people 700 centuries before Christ. But it's interesting that basically what he's saying, it's all about relationships. Everything Jesus spoke, everything Jesus did, is kind of an affirmation of what Micah had said 700 years earlier. When Micah addressed the nation, he said, you are not treating other people right. You are taking advantage of the poor. You are treating people as products, as things. You are discriminating against those who don't have power or wealth. You are not acting justly. You are not standing for justice for all people. Notice the word act. Micah did not see the demonstration of their faith relationship with God in the way they treated people. So part of the answer of what should you do with your life is found in the first one there. Every day, make sure that you treat all people as God would want you to treat them. Be sure that you don't discriminate against someone else who might not speak your language, who may not be from your homeland, who may not have your values, who may not be Christian. Do not discriminate against them. Love them. And make sure that you show that in the way you act. Actions. Notice here, love mercy. What is mercy? Mercy is feeling kind towards someone. Mercy is offering love to someone even though they might not deserve it. Have we received mercy from God?
Yes.
Haven't we though? We didn't deserve it. I mean, the scripture says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. What grace, what mercy God offers to us. And if God would do that for us, we have got to do that for other people. And maybe more mercy is needed in your marriage. Maybe more mercy is needed in the place where you work. Maybe more mercy is needed in your church relationships. Maybe mercy is needed towards somebody that you really don't care for. It's very important for us to show mercy. And notice the focus on love. Micah is saying, you don't just agree to show mercy. You don't just, okay, I'll do it, you know, grudgingly. He's saying, you love to do that. You really love to show mercy to people. God does. God loves to keep on showing mercy to me and to you, even though we don't deserve it. Love it. Choose to do it because you really want to and make a difference in somebody's life. So we have action and we have emotion and we have faith, humble faith with God. Humble yourself before God. You know, sometimes we forget that we are not God. Sometimes we forget that we are creatures and that He is creator. And we need to humble ourselves before Him. We need to let Him be God in our lives. We need to let Him be God in our marriage. We need to let Him be God in the church, in the country, and in this world. Let God be God. Humble yourself before God. The people had lost that sense of humility before God. They had gotten so caught up in their own agenda, their own lives. They were feeling self-righteous. They were taking advantage of other people. They just really weren't showing deep love for one another. And Micah, I think, is pointing out, it starts here in your walk with God. If you will humble yourself before Almighty God and thank Him for the way He has shown mercy to you, let that be your inspiration to show mercy to everybody else. And be sure that your actions every day show the justice, the concern that you need to show to all people. It's very important for us to listen as Micah cuts to the core of what it means to be human, and what it means to be born, and what it means to live on this earth. It matters how we live. And Micah is saying, every day, be sure you make the right choices about how you're going to live that day. Because the days add up to weeks and months and then years and decades and then your lifetime. Be sure you choose well now and let that choice have an impact on the rest of your life. You can see, I think, now how important this is. The ultimate question has the ultimate answer. How should I live my life? I need to do these three things. In 1917, when American troops were preparing to sail across the seas in order to take to the battlefields of France and Belgium in the First World War, the New York Bible Society asked former President Theodore Roosevelt to inscribe a message in the pocket New Testaments that would be given to all of the soldiers who were going overseas. And President Roosevelt happily agreed to do that, and he began by quoting Micah 6:8. In every one of the New Testaments that would be in the soldier's pocket as they went overseas, when they opened it up, they would see Micah 6:8. President Roosevelt felt it was that important. And the soldiers Every day we're reminded that here's the answer to life's ultimate question. When things are going wild around you, when you are boarding a ship to go fight a war overseas, what do you need to remember? These three things. When you're going to work every day, what do you need to remember? These three things. When you are living out your marriage commitment to one another, live out these three things together. It's that important. President Roosevelt called it the Micah mandate. The Micah requirement. The Micah mandate. George Grant wrote a book based on Roosevelt's words, and he called it the Micah mandate. And he said, the whole teaching of the New Testament is actually foreshadowed in Micah's verse. God's purpose for us. God's intention as life's basic meaning is found in relationships. And relationships can be enriched if we will remember what God is saying to us through his prophet. Now, it's not just Micah who had great guidance for us in the living of our faith. But notice that this is about relationships with one another and with God. Life is all about relationships. If you don't get your relationships right, you're going to miss out on the answer to life's ultimate question. But in the Bible, you will find help in many different places. And they all focus back on relationships and are kind of foreshadowed by what Micah said. For example, the Ten Commandments. And you will find those in Exodus 20:1 through 17. And if you will look up those commandments, you will see that all 10 are about relationships. The first 4 are about our relationship with God. No other gods, no idols, don't take the name of the Lord in vain, remember the Sabbath. The last 6 of the commandments focus on our relationship with people, with one another. No adultery, no coveting, tell the truth, those kind of things. So, relationships. In the Beatitudes, what we call the Beatitudes, in the opening part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew 5:1-12, you will see some great guidance about the living of your life. If you want to know, how should I live my life? Look up Matthew 5. You might want to turn there with me. Matthew 5:1-12. We call them the Beatitudes, those verses that begin with the word blessed. And notice what it says. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Look at what it says. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers, making peace in relationships. Blessed are those who persecute you for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Just keep on treating them fairly. Love them and show them mercy. Walk humbly with your God, whether the people in your life are for you or not. Do that. And you'll find that God's word gives you answers for the living of your faith. There's one other section of scripture I want to mention to you that is in line with what Micah is saying. It's all about relationships. And that is the fruits of the Spirit. Fruits of the Spirit. There are 9 of them. And they are found in Galatians 5. So turn with me to Galatians if you want to. In Galatians 5, notice what it says in verses 22 and 23. 22 to 23. And there you find the fruits of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Say it with me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's all about relationships, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So if you look up these three passages of Scripture, you will find God saying, this is how you need to live your life. This is how you need to live. And it's really kind of an echo of what Micah said in that great verse in Micah 6, verse 8. It is that important. When the Library of Congress building was being built in Washington, D.C. many years ago, there was going to be a section, a religion section in the Library of Congress. And the people who were the architects who were planning this building, a massive complex in Washington, D.C., they asked leaders of differing faiths, what verse would you choose as very representative of what this Library of Congress is all about, especially the religion section? And so these scholars got together, several different religions, and out of that discussion came their conclusion that what needed to be inscribed over the entrance to the Library of Congress religion section was Micah 6:8. It's that important. It pulls together powerful truth about what we need to do and how we need to live our life. Very important. And so I hope that you'll remember these words. And I hope that you'll ask yourself this ultimate question every once in a while. How should I be living my life? What do I need to give myself to? Life's kind of short. And it's important that we live for the very best. And the very best in the heart of God is this. And this, and this, and this. And God is saying it's all about relationships. First with God and people. And if you're living your life only to make money, if you're living your life only to get recognition, if you're doing your work only to get ahead of somebody else, that's not all bad, but it's sure, it cannot be the only reason you're living for. There is so much more important than how much money you make or what kind of things you buy. It's relationships that make all the difference. You're going to find joy and peace and meaning in your life when you focus every day on relationships. First with God, and then with one another. In your marriage, your family, your church, your workplace, your community. So how relationally focused are you? And as you earn money, as you buy things, as you do many things, focus even more than that on acting justly, fairly to all people, showing mercy to those, especially those that might not, in your mind, might not even deserve that. Offer it anyway. And love doing that. And walk humbly with God. He loves you more than you can imagine. His will is most important in your life. Humble yourself before God. Micah saw a nation that had become self-righteous, filled up with pride about themselves. And Micah saw them far from God. How close to God are you? How close to God are we? I hope that we will let God continue to speak through the great prophet. And I hope that you will focus more and more on the answer to the great question, what should I do with my life? And I hope that your conclusion, your answer before God to that ultimate question is that you will focus on relationships first and foremost with Him and then with others that God might be glorified through the way you relate to him and to one another. God bless you as you daily choose the answer to life's ultimate question. Would you pray with me? Oh God, forgive us when we have failed to act justly toward other people. When we have preferred ourselves over someone else. Forgive us, Father, when we have not shown mercy to someone else. Oh God, help us to learn how to love mercy, to love showing mercy to other people. And oh God, forgive us when we have not walked humbly before you. Forgive us when we have allowed our relationship with you to grow shallow, ritualistic. So today, oh God, we just pray that you would forgive us, that you would draw us back to your heart, and that you would help us to live each day focused on your heart and your heart's desire for the way we live our lives. This is our prayer, which we offer in Jesus' name.
Amen.